Hi, everybody, and welcome to DevOps Today in Tel Aviv. It will be a great, great day. I'll be hosting the IIC podcast today. My name is Omri Chai. I'm the CDO and co-founder of NetZero. And I'll be replacing Oad Meisnes, who is my partner in crime. We'll have great guests today from around the companies and great companies coming up. And we'll be interviewing them, and we'll have a great, great event today, hopefully. See, we have a great guest here, Roy, who's the CEO of Finau. Roy, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for being here. Tell us a bit about yourself and why are you here.
So my name is Roy, one of the founders and CEO of Finau. We are here for the first year supporting the DevOps Days in Tel Aviv. And I used to be here from my previous roles multiple times, but it's an incredible DevOps community here, and excited to be here and support.
Great. So what are you most excited about this event and your maybe position in the FinOps world?
So I'm originated from DevOps. This is how I started my career, and looking at DevOps Days Tel Aviv's evolving over the years has been completely amazing. I'm always excited to see the entire community, all the vendors, a couple of years that, you know, you just see conventions abroad, and now we finally meet in Tel Aviv, which is super, super fun to see everyone and how the event grows. I think that FinOps starts to be a bit more represented in the DevOps community. So we see here a couple of vendors talking about FinOps, and there starts to be a better understanding that FinOps and DevOps are going alongside one another, and starting to collide, you know, that the DevOps engineers start to care about cloud cost management, the same as they start to care about SLA, and you see this entire thing evolving, and it's super, super excited.
Cool. So maybe talk about your company and what do you do?
So Finau, we are a cloud cost management platform. We help companies to manage and allocate their entire spend. We take costs from multiple different providers like AWS, GCP, Azure, Oracle, Snowflake, Datadog, Databricks, regardless of how much money does it cost to bring it all into one place, and help with a complete cost allocation, budgeting and forecasting, and really help with establishing the FinOps culture within the organization to get the right engineer to care about the right cost at the right time, and foster a culture that enables everyone to get the information that they need and manage the spend.
Okay. So let's talk a bit about the IEC and how it correlates with the FinOps and the FinOut. So there's the infra cost that tells you how much money it will cost you. So what your perspective of infrastructure as code and FinOps coming together?
So I think we're just in the early innings of that world. When an organization goes 100% into Terraform, it means that we're supposed to have a complete visibility into what's going to happen. But in reality, it's always a bit more complicated, because if I have something like I'm provisioning something that is auto-scale, so how can I know where it's coming? And if it's something that is running on Kubernetes and I'm just changing the number of pods, it's very hard to manage it on the other end. So I think there's a lot more things to do, regardless to how do we match infrastructure as code changes to their cost implications. And I think we're going to start to see more and more guardrails and organization that stops, Terraform pull requests if it has unknown implication to our cloud cost, and even start to auto-correct stuff on our environment based on Terraform changes instead of just trying to go rogue and right-size stuff on the environment without having an IIC that controls it. So a lot more things is going to happen in the FinOps and IIC world, and I'm very excited for it.
Yeah. Obviously. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So Bao, for those who doesn't know you, please tell me a bit about yourself.
Hey, thank you for having me. My name is Bao Sadogorski, and I'm a developer with Clipped Advocate with the company called Gradle. Gradle does awesome t-shirts, but also developer with Clipped Solutions, starting with a build tool for JVM-related projects, but also a developer productivity product that's called the Velocity, and it does amazing stuff with the engineering of how we, as software developers and software engineers, can be more productive. doing developer relations for more than 10 years.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time in another company that you went called JFrog. Very relevant to the OZ Tel Aviv. Yeah, obviously it's an Israeli company, local community, very dear to our hearts.
And our customers as well.
And story the other way around, you're their customer, the synergy in the community is amazing. Thank you for having me. Very happy to be here in Tel Aviv for DevOps Days and in this podcast in particular.
Great. So let's talk about a bit about your lecture today and what is it about? So
my lecture obviously related to developer productivity in general and developer productivity engineering in particular. The difference is that we are software engineers. We try to find engineering solutions for problems. And productivity is usually not this kind of problem that you'll think to solve with engineering, but it actually can be. You actually can do a lot of amazing stuff that will increase your productivity with engineering. And this is what my talk is about. And the interesting take about it is that developer productivity engineering is not only not less relevant, but even more relevant in our stormy times, right? In general, with the global economy, and in particular in Israel, with what's going on, being able to work productively is even more important now than it was 3, 4, 5 years ago. So we'll try to see how development productivity engineering can help.
Yeah, great. So how do you like the DevOps Day till we up
so now? Lil Bird told me that this is now the biggest DevOps Days in the world.
Really?
Yes, which kind of surprising, but also not surprising. But also not surprising because the Israeli high tech community is absolutely amazing. And as opposite to other places, people actually love the community angle of it. They love to come together, to mingle, to be here for each other. And this is what really stands this event apart. It's welcoming, it's warm, it's friendly. This is everything we love about Israel, and it comes in the most powerful way in DevOps Days Tel Aviv. Yeah.
But so as an open source enthusiastic, what's your take about OpenTofu and Terraform and all of those?
This is an overloaded question, right? So Terraform is one of the most important projects in the DevOps industry for a decade now, right? And obviously, we might have opinions about HashiCorp as a company, about people that are working there and decisions that they make. And I would say the real fundamental question is whether such a cornerstone project as Terraform should be in the open source and community-driven project, or should it be backed up by a company with funding, with money, and what's not? And the answer, and this is what is exciting about OpenTofu, is that it can be both.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the really, I would say, unusual, but also obvious, and seem like the right solution is when you can have both. And then you can pick and choose based on what you are doing, what's important to you, whether you want to go this route or the other. The tricky question is obviously the relationship between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, this is the million-dollar question, and this is where, like, hey, how can we make sure that both are going into one direction, and then people can really choose what is right for them?
Yeah.
But obviously, regardless, having this initiative when the community stood up and took it into their own hands and running the open source with all the power, this is obviously amazing. And this is a great testament of how DevOps community is a strong, vibrant, and credible community to be a part of.
Great. So thank you for being...
Thank you very much. My pleasure. Thank you.
Hey guys, welcome back, and we have another special guest, Avishai. Nice to meet you. Thank you for being here. So maybe talk a bit about yourself.
So my name is Avishai. I've been involved in the DevOps Days conference in Israel since 2013. At Netport, we have actually DevOps Days, so we do the DevOps Con. We joined the franchise in 2014, and I've been helping organize this event until about 15 years ago. But I'm still here, still meeting the guys. It's a lot of fun. It's an amazing event.
Yeah. So talk about the event. What is interesting here? What's exciting?
So for me, always when those events, what's interesting in the hallway track.
Yeah.
The hallway track.
Oh.
Talking to people, like of course the talks and lectures are interesting, great, but you can see them on YouTube. This interaction, talking to people, getting the honest opinions or challenges. So what's bothering them? What excites them? This is not something that you can get on YouTube.
Yeah.
So that's basically what I'm doing today.
Cool. So talk a bit about your lecture you had yesterday.
So I talked about what's the cost of millisecond, which is basically, when you have a database, maybe it's suddenly like a millisecond slower, and you're like, okay, it's not much of a difference. So what I'm showing actually that there's an amplification, and this translates to a huge latency spike at the top of your system, which is something that people are not unaware of. When this whole topic of system dynamics and dynamic performance is not something that, unless you worked with high scale or like some deployments, you probably don't know much about it.
Yeah.
So I gave them a talk about that, and I think it's a very interesting window for people to get into this feeling.
Well,
yeah.
So let's talk about infrastructure as code and your view of it overall.
Yeah, so I have a kind
just
of
a brief
the view on this. I don't consider Terraform and Terraformation, all those tools, as really infrastructure as code at all. Because if you look at what you're actually programming, air quotes, you're just writing a specification in YAML or HCL or whatever. It's basically a static thing.
Yeah.
Even though sometimes the template itself, static tables, low logic often, and it doesn't respond to changes in real time. So I think the closest thing you actually have to infrastructure as code today is Kubernetes operators, because they actually respond in real time and it's actually code that we manage their infrastructure. And also there's the question of what is infrastructure. So the especially in the cloud, everything is like provisioned by API. So what is code, what is out of the application? It's a decision that I as a developer make.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take SQF, for example, I built applications that spawn queues on the fly. And if you work with this strategy, suddenly you have 1 million queues, which is not something you can do with Terraform.
Yes.
So it's a very different view of what the infrastructure is and how you manage it.
Well, this is a great point of view, and obviously everyone has a different approach of how to manage that. Great, so thank you very much for being here, and all the best.
Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. Hey guys, welcome back, and we have another special guest here, Yishai. Nice to meet you.
Same here.
Great to be here. So maybe tell a bit about yourself. What do you do?
Yeah, so I'm Yishai. I'm the CTO of Linear B. We have a nice booth right over here. Long friends of the organizers here, and happy to be partners in this event.
Cool. So maybe talk a bit about your lecture that you have here.
Yeah, so yesterday one of my colleagues gave a nice Ignite about how pull requests and the processes that developers need to go through to get them merged, how they frustrate developers, the long wait times, just to get a review and to get my code merged so I can move on, and some nice ideas for solutions and automations that you can introduce to that process to make it much nicer for developers.
Okay, great. And how do you like the event so far? What excites?
First of all, it's great to have a physical event after a long while, and with the climate around us. So it's great to have, and it's a very lively one. Lots of hands-on practitioners, DevOps, developers. It's great. We're having fun.
Well, and let's talk about the infrastructure as code. What are the challenges that you see with your company? Well, with infrastructure as code as for software engineers and
that. Yeah, so first I'll start with we're using infrastructure as code internally for managing our environments, for mutating our environments over time. And where, you know, there's overall changes in the Terraform world, so we're keeping an open eye on this. There's a special behavior that we're seeing. We're looking at developer teams that work with infrastructure as code, and the review cycle, or what do I need to do to get my IAC changes that merged into the code base, is different from the like regular code.
Yeah.
If I'm fixing a bug, it's going to be a change in some code files. My peer developer, in most cases, is going to review that, give me some comments, going to pass the tests, and we can move on. With IAC, I need, in many cases, a different person to review.
Yeah.
Different ownership, this may have more implications. So we're seeing that sometimes developer teams are struggling with getting those reviews through the door quickly enough. And what we offer in this case is our GitStream automation engine that basically helps you dynamically pull in the right people depending on where you change. So if you touched a Terraform file or IAC code, you can label that PR automatically. Okay, this is IAC. Mm-hmm. This contains a change in your infrastructure. And you can pull in someone from the right team or the right expert to say if this is good or not. So dynamically changing the review and merge process to address the IAC changes and give them a separate or a different route compared to just code changes.
Yeah,
that's something that we see resonating well with our customers.
Okay, great, great answer. So thanks for coming here. And
sure, this is fun.
Yeah,
great to be here.
Hey, welcome back. We have another great guest, Shem. Thanks for being here. Maybe talk a bit about yourself.
No problem. So I'm Shem. I'm the co-founder and CTO of Wilco. Before this, I've been working in a couple of companies like Facebook and WeWork.
Cool. So maybe talk about the event. What's important here? What do you see is excited?
So this is like my second day. I must admit that today I didn't have any chance to go into the sessions because we have a booth, so I need to talk not about my product. But yesterday was very interesting. A lot of good talk about a lot of AI, obviously, they have to. But a lot about the infrastructure and the first principle, like back to the root.
So maybe talk a bit about your lecture and what was it about?
Yeah, so later today, I'm going to talk a little bit about some work that we did in Wilco back in the days. We're a small team. We're a small startup, you know.
Yeah.
How hard is it when you work with low resources? And we need to build a very big feature for one of our clients that involved a lot of AWS and bring up automatically a huge cluster with all kind of workers. And when we plan it, we realize it's gonna take something like 3 months. And for a startup, it's huge. It's like it's a long time. So before we started, like a minute before we talked about it and talked with the client, and we decided to cheat a bit and build something very, very simple that might break. It doesn't solve all their problems, but they didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So we took Heroku, we break it out a bit. Certainly not what Heroku meant to be, but we replace the whole huge structure that we plan to do in AWS with a very simple Heroku application and the infrastructure, and we build it in a week instead of three. And that's why we saved a lot of money and time and test the hypothesis on this solution. And only then when we realize it's actually something that needed, then we build the full cycle.
Sounds very interesting and very relevant for this kind of event.
Yeah.
And talk about a bit maybe, how do you see education in the infrastructure world? What the go-to guides and how to start?
So for me, I'm a software engineer. I've been always a software engineer, touching the product. Like, I always love that I have some kind of platform as a service. Like I have Netlify, I don't need to touch anything. I have everything ready. And even when I work on Facebook, on Meta, like you have an army of DevOps people, you just push code and it works magically. And I loved it as a product engineer. And as a CTO, with you are the first employee, you have to touch infrastructure, you have to touch the demo. And it was the first time for me that I had to touch Kubernetes, had to actually understand Docker, not just copy-paste the Docker files. And it was hard for me all the time to learn those configuration, the mindset, how it works. And I used like the regular things like docker.com, learn there, Coursera, etc. And it just didn't stick. It didn't stick. So what we believe that, especially in infrastructure, when you don't have a lot of chance today in your day-to-day, you sometimes have to do it by yourself from scratch. At the end of the day, it's infrastructure. It's from scratch.
Yeah.
The building blocks. So we highly believe that each one of the DevOps, for everyone that want to learn how to build Docker and to work with Kubernetes, and to create this configuration from scratch, to create a CI/CD with building the image from scratch. Because...
Get your hands dirty.
Yeah. This is the only way you actually remember, like some kind of muscle memory.
Yeah.
This is why we highly believe that creating things on your own, maybe in a side project, some kind of sandbox, just to do it from scratch.
Cool. So thank you very much for coming. And
thank you for having me.
Hey guys, welcome back. We have another special guest here, Shiran. Nice to meet you.
Hi. I'm here.
So thank you for coming. Can you talk a bit about yourself, your role, what do you do?
Yes, so I'm Shiran Melamed. I'm working for JFrog in the last 2 years. My role is a DevOps group lead. I'm managing the infrastructure and the data teams. In JFrog, we have 3 teams, one in Israel, one in the US, and another one here. I'm in the industry for the last 18 years, something like that. I started in the army where I been in the MAMRAM unit. I trained the soldiers for all kinds of subjects like infrastructure, networking. Back then, when there was no cloud, this was what we used to do.
Yeah.
After that, I went to a company named LMB, Label Merge Branch. And we did professional services projects. About CI, CD, installers, builds, and things that today are mostly in the cloud.
So you have like a vast experience around the entire industry.
Exactly. And this is how I reached like the DevOps area before it was called DevOps.
Great. So tell me about the lecture you had. So
I lecture about ransomware disaster recovery, which is very hot topic these days. We don't want someone to attack our organization and we wouldn't know what to do, how to catch it, how to recover from it. So I talked about how we should have all our data in a different location, in a different account, so no one will have access to it. And then it will be like an immutable data that is kept there. And once we will have an attack, we will be able to jump to this location.
Yeah.
Taking into consideration things like RPO, RTO, which is also very important for our organization to know what we want to achieve and how we can go there.
And I'm sure infrastructure as code made a lot of impact on that as well.
Completely.
So talk about a bit the DevOps Day in Tel Aviv. What do you see here? What are you excited about?
So I really like the short talks that, you know, bring ideas that you can take later for your organization and try them. I like the majority of companies that you can see and then see many other options that you can use. And I see a lot of talks about platform engineering, which is something that we are also in JFrog very interested in. We have a meetup soon about platform engineering. So this is a very... hot subject that we are working on all the time, trying to make our developers very independent. We want to scale our deployments. We want to have, we don't want to be the blockers. We want to be enablers. And this is also something very interesting here.
So from your vast majority and experience, how do you see the infrastructure as code world in your eyes?
So in JFrog, we are working with the three cloud providers, AWS, GCP, and Azure. And for that, because of that, we choose the Terraform as our infrastructure as code. So we use it in our modules. We have the modules for each resource. And then because we need to manage above 100 clusters, Kubernetes clusters in many regions, we have override files that we use to do the specific configuration of each version. And apart from Terraform, we are seeing many new tools going into the market now. So we tried and still trying Crossplane and Bluebricks and other companies. We also always want to innovate and see what's new in the market. We are using Nvzero as our deployment tool for infrastructure as code, which makes our life really easier for our PRs and the process that we are doing. Because we have many developers that is working on Terraform, we have to have those tools in order to do it the best way.
Okay, so thanks for coming here, and it was a pleasure having you.
Thank you very much.